Mrs. Strickland was the daughter of an Indian civilian who, on his retirement, had settled in the depths of the country. But it was his habit every August to take his family to Eastbourne for change of air, and it was here, when she was 20, that she met Charles Strickland. He was 23. They played tennis together, walked on the front together, listened together to the nigger minstrels, and she had made up her mind to accept him a week before he proposed to her. They lived in London, first in Hampstead, and then, as he grew more prosperous, in town. Two children were born to them. He always seemed very fond of them. Even if he was tired of me, I wonder that he had the heart to leave them. It's all so incredible. Even now I can hardly believe it's true. At last, she showed me the letter he had written. I was curious to see it, but had not ventured to ask for it. "My dear Amy, I think you will find everything all right in the flat. I have given Anne your instructions, and dinner will be ready for you and the children when you come. I shall not be there to meet you. I have made up my mind to live apart from you, and I am going to Paris in the morning. I shall post this letter on my arrival. I shall not come back. My decision is irrevocable. Yours always, Charles Strickland." Not a word of explanation or regret? Don't you think it's inhuman? "It's a very strange letter under the circumstances," I replied. "There's only one explanation, and that is that he's not himself. I don't know who this woman is who's got hold of him, but she's made him into another man. It's evidently been going on a long time." "What makes you think that?" "Fred found that out. My husband said he went to the club 3 or 4 nights a week to play bridge. Fred knows one of the members and said something about Charles being a great bridge player. The man was surprised. He said he'd never even seen Charles in the card room. It's quite clear now that when I thought Charles was at his club, he was with her.